Good to see you, Brother Sam. Just Dean. In case anybody's still wondering, we're operating on about a 15-minute delay today, so we are thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. I appreciate the message that we've heard already. You know, that message that Brother Kenneth just preached, if you would look in the book of James for that lesson, perhaps it would be where James says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that a true statement?
Amen.
Well, absolutely, it's the word of God. But if we don't remember it, if we don't think about it, then we might not think to do it. But he tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, that reminds me of those disciples where they were in the ship and the ship was filling up with water and they began to panic that they were going to perish. And the Lord wasn't panicking. The Lord wasn't worried about anything. As a matter of fact, he was down in the ship asleep on a pillow. That's not a picture of worry, is it?
No.
But the disciples came and woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What did he do? He rose up and he rebuked the wind and the sea, saying, peace, be still. You know, I used to think that he yelled it out. In my latter years, I kind of come to the conclusion that he probably just very calmly spoke, but firmly spoke those words, showing that he is in absolute control.
Right.
He didn't have to yell it. He simply spoke the words, and whereas there was a great storm, now there's a great calm. And I'm going to tell you something. When you cast all your cares upon him, he can still the storms of life.
Amen.
Now, what if you didn't know about that verse? What if you didn't know anything about the Bible saying that to be so? Well, you wouldn't have it to draw from, would you?
Right.
You wouldn't have it to be a blessing to you. All right? So that's that's why I want to preach on Psalm 119, verse 11 this morning. Now, I'll read the verse, but there's a whole lot more Bible that we want to talk about than just this one verse. But we want to talk about what it embraces. Psalm 119, you know, that's the longest chapter in all the Bible. We could spend a lot of time. As a matter of fact, several years ago, we did spend a lot of time, didn't we? We went verse by verse through the whole Psalm. All right. As a matter of fact, we went through all the Psalms. But Psalm 119 is very special because every verse in Psalm 119 speaks of some form of the Word of God, whether it's statutes or commandments or judgments or whatever the case might be. Every verse speaks somehow of the Word of God. What is it, 176 verses? In that psalm? That's a lot of mentions of the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But it's so rich. So I hope you found verse 11 by now. All right? David says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Isn't that a worthy goal?
Amen.
Something that we can do that would help us not to sin against God. If indeed we have the love of God in our heart, if indeed he's caused us to be born of his Spirit, and we realize our great need of him, that we realize that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and yet God has sent his Son to be the Savior of his people, then bless your hearts when we think about the fact that he's done so much for us, that he's blessed us in so many ways. the greatest of which was what I just said, sending his son to this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins, that we would live with him in glory. See, without that, we would be eternally separated from God. So what a tremendous blessing that is, that we have salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So shouldn't we want to live our lives in such a way that we would not sin against him? Because every day when we live our lives in thanksgiving and gratitude to him for what he's done for us, in appreciation for the love that he's extended to us, which the greatest love is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Amen. Well, you've got eternal life. All right? So if you already believe in him, if you already know that you're a sinner, if you already know that you need a savior, you've got eternal life, because the very condemnation that we feel for our sins is an evidence of spiritual life. Life precedes action. Life precedes feelings. Life precedes thoughts. If we understand that principle, that universal principle that life precedes action, then we have to understand that we have to have eternal life before we can act in such a way that shows that we're mindful of our sins and in need of a Savior, and we can then embrace the glorious good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That's all there is, sinners. If you've been blessed to know it, it's an evidence that you have the Spirit of God within you, witnessing against your old carnal nature and blessing us to know there's good news. All right, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Is the word of God valuable? Okay. Is it valuable to you? There's two different questions. Okay. Is it valuable? Yes, it is. No question about that. Is it valuable to you? Do we cherish the word of God? You know, God has exalted his word above all his name. Psalm 138. All right? He's exalted his word above all his name. You might think, well, there's nothing higher than the name of God. Well, there's nothing higher than God. And his glory is above the heavens. But he says, thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. How can that be? Well, if all we have is his name, we might forget him. Right. We might not know much about him except his name. But if we've got his word, we've got everything that teaches us about who God is and how great God is and how wonderful God is and all that he's done for us. If we've got his word, we've got his name. And so as we think about the word, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that precious word, that word that is so precious that he's exalted it even above his name, and that word that is being preserved by his power. You know, the scriptures tell us the words of the Lord are pure words. Psalm 12. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. That tells me that God is actively engaged in preserving his word. Well, it must be important. It must be needful for us to know it. It must be needful for us to hold on to it. And so the word says, thy word, not our opinion about his word, but thy word have I hid in my heart. Now, this is the kind of hiding where you hold on to something. If you're like me, you've hidden some things from yourself. And somewhere down the road, you've made some interesting discoveries. And you might say, well, there that thing is. I've been looking for it for years. It happens, right? But you didn't hide it. You didn't hide it in such a way that you knew where it was. What the psalmist, the Spirit is impressing David to tell us here is that we need this word so badly that we want to value it so much that we will hold on to it in such a way that we'll remember it, that we'll know it, that we'll know how to apply it, and that it will come forth from us to be a blessing to others. You might say, well, how in the world can you get all that in that little three-letter word, hid? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Well, because it's the intent. When you go on to the rest of the verse, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How in the world is that going to have that effect upon you if you forget it? How is it going to have that effect upon you if you don't know what it means? How is it going to have that effect on you if you don't value it? If you don't value it, you're not going to do what's necessary to know it and apply it. It all fits together, doesn't it? All right? So when he says, thy word have I hid in my heart for the purpose of that I might not sin against thee. When we think about hiding his word, it's another way of talking about staying on the path of righteousness. Right. Treasuring that word up so it's there, it's available to us. We remember it. We know it. We want to apply it. We want to live our lives according to it. And all of this is in perfect harmony with what you've already heard preached this morning. That Brother Kenneth was talking about, taking his yoke upon us and learning of him. All right? So staying on the path of righteousness by hiding his word in our heart, that for the purpose of not sinning against God. So we think about, move over to Psalm, in the same Psalm, 119, verse 172. 172, David says this, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Well, if you were listening to Brother Kenneth, then you heard that what he said was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and, well, no, he didn't quote that, I don't think. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what he quoted. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The promise is they shall be filled. Then you go down to verse 33, and he says, Thank you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You may have said that this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, you hear the priority? You hear the intent? I'm building a case here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, a lot of folks like this idea of seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, but they leave out the my righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, conforming our life, treasuring up his word so that we know how to live our life. Conforming our life to what pleases God, that's righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will bless you in making a priority and doing this with intention to serve him, and he'll bless you. He promised to. He will. He did. He promised it in the Old Testament. He promised it. I just quoted it in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Isaiah told the people who had greatly turned away from the word of God, he said, if ye be willing and obedient to what? To the commandments of God. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? But he goes on to say, if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the edge of the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In other words, count on it. It's the truth. All right, so we have the promise that God will bless us for keeping his word and living according to principles of righteousness. As a matter of fact, Romans 14 verse 17 says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Well, when we're walking in the paths of righteousness, we do have peace with God. When we go astray, we don't have that peace with God. Right? So all of God's word, there's just so many ways that he teaches us the same lesson. Draw nigh to him, James would tell us, and he will draw nigh unto us. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against thee. Back up in Psalm 119 to verse 9. Psalm 119 verse 9. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Cleansing his way. Sometimes we need that in life, don't we? When we come short, when we get distracted. Wherewithal shall a young man, by the way, that applies to all of us. It's good instruction for the young, but it's good instruction for the old. Because the inner man doesn't know anything about age. The inner man doesn't age. Okay. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Isn't that what we've been saying? Treasure up the word so that we wouldn't sin against him. Okay. When we take heed to the word, then we cleanse our way. And so we need those cleansing benefits during life because we have this old nature about us and we come short at times and there's need for us to confess our sins. All right? So in view of that, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right? Immediately, there's going to be some roadblocks. Immediately, there's going to be some obstacles in life. I mean, we might sit here this morning and say, that's a wonderful thought. I'm going to get right on it. And next week, we'll think, you know, I just didn't get to it. There's obstacles that we have to plan for, that we have to realize that there's going to be hindrances for us treasuring up this word. And don't blame it all on the devil. Sometimes we can plan a real busy schedule all week, and if you're going to treasure up the word, you've got to plan some time to get it in there. Or it ain't going to happen. Really? Anybody here got any free time that, I know sometimes we do, but you know, free time where you don't have anything to do just does not exist. We choose, if we know we're going to have a few moments, if we know we're going to have some time, I mean, you know, there's always something to do. So what you choose to fill in those times says a lot. Okay, one of the verses Brother Kenneth quoted was, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, so keeping his commandments in effect is saying, I love you, Lord. But when we don't keep his commandments, we're not saying that, are we? All right, so we have to be intentional about having some time that we can hide that word in our heart. Now, if you memorize the Bible, wonderful. You're light years ahead of the rest of us. If you've memorized it, and I know a couple of preachers that could probably write the whole Bible, at least one or two that's gone on to be with the Lord now, but anyway, unless you've memorized the whole Bible and you can just recall it perfectly, we still need to be hiding the word in our heart so that we wouldn't sin against the Lord. All right? We have to be intentional. You know, remember Daniel when he was carried away as a captive and he was being groomed to be brought before the king of Babylon? All right, and they wanted him to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine and all those kind of things. and how that surprised Daniel whenever time came? No? No, it didn't surprise Daniel, did it? See, he was thinking ahead. He knew he was in a heathen court. He knew that if they were being groomed to come before the king, and there may be some things that they're going to be called upon that would violate God's word. And so Daniel had already purposed in his heart that he wouldn't sin against God. You see, we all need to follow that example, to purpose in our heart, to plan ahead. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I know you can keep me, help me to stay in your way. Amen. Be intentional about this. Plan ahead. Plan some time for us to treasure up this word. And it might, part of that process might be coming unto him, all that labor and are heavy laden, and him giving us rest. But then we have to plan some time to take that yoke upon us. You know, it may just be changing the way we go about doing some things throughout our day so that we can do it in a more Christian way. Whatever the case might be, if you'll pray to God for wisdom, he'll show you what you need to do. Okay, I don't have to give you all the specifics. You just pray to God, help me to follow you more closely, and he'll begin to show you some things. How we can hide his word in our heart and not sin against him. So, some of those obstacles, we need to remember it. We need to try to apply it because Satan's going to try his best to put those stumbling blocks in our path. Because, I want to repeat this, because if we don't plan ahead, if we're not intentional about this, it won't happen. This old flesh, this world, it just won't happen. You know, that kind of reminds me of high school when I was playing basketball in high school. And our coach, he had a lot of these, but there was one thing that just really made him go berserk. Is if a player had the opportunity for a free throw because they'd been fouled, you got it. All you're doing is standing and you got 3 points. All you got to do is sink the free throw, right? And what really drove him crazy was when somebody shot the ball and it didn't make it to the goal. Yeah. Either hit the bar and bounced off or whatever. You know why it drove him crazy? He says, because if you don't put forth enough effort to get it over that bar, the rim, if you don't do enough to get it over the rim, it cannot possibly go in. And so the same principle is here. If we don't do enough, if we're not intentional enough, if we don't do something intentionally to accomplish this, you can forget about the rest of the verse. It ain't happening. Simple, isn't it? So we have to put forth some effort. We have to be intentional about hiding his word in our heart in order for it to have the effect of keeping us from sinning more against him. It's kind of simple, but simply profound, right? Okay? So, all right, now, what does that look like? If we've hidden the word in our heart, how does that come forth? You know, I know it says that we might not sin against thee, but how can hiding the word in our heart keep us from sinning? All right, let's use a few examples here. What if you've hidden the Ten Commandments in your heart? And you know what the Ten Commandments are. And you want to honor God. So just follow the Ten Commandments. Observe the Ten Commandments. The first three is kind of you can kind of summarize them, and well, the first four really is worshiping God. We're not to have any graven images before us. We're to have no gods before us. Okay. And somebody might say, "Well, preacher, I never have bowed down to any image ever." Okay.
But that doesn't mean you haven't placed anything before you and given it more attention than you did God. Idolatry can come in a lot of forms. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament tells us that covetousness is idolatry. And so you've got the very last of the commandments, and that's where he started. So all the way through the commandments, the beginning of it, the first tablet, those first four, and then those six that deal with our dealings with one another, then it comes back to the same thing. Don't be guilty of idolatry. Okay? Well, we need to know what the word says that constitutes idolatry so that we can honor that commandment, right? Thou shalt not steal. We understand that, don't we? All right? You got that in your heart? You know that's part of God's commandment? Yes, it's Old Testament, but yes, it's still valid. Okay? Thou shalt not steal. So if we don't steal, and that's taking anything that's not yours. All right? Shall not bear false witness or don't lie. You know all about that. Okay? See, all of those things, the Ten Commandments, if we've got that in our heart and we want to honor God and we remember those things and we try to observe those things as best we can, then it will help us against sinning against God in that way. All right, so the Ten Commandments, a simple thing. Why, listen, we wouldn't have to have the multitude of reams of papers of laws that our government puts out every day if everybody would just observe the Ten Commandments. I am satisfied that God covered it when he gave us the Decalogue. I am satisfied that if we as a society would honor those 10 words, 10 commandments, what if everybody did it? Just stop and think about it sometime. Just how drastically our culture would... The thing, we wouldn't need a police force. We wouldn't need locks on our doors. We wouldn't have to worry about relationships. 10 simple commands. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Apostle Peter gives us a good list over in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and he says, give all diligence. That means you got to put forth some effort, doesn't it? Giving all diligence, add to your faith. He gives us faith in the new birth. So we need to add to it. And if we're obedient to that, if you get down to the end of that list, you see, he'll tell us, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we find that, okay, if we obey these words, if we treasure it up, and if we observe to do it, and if we follow those things, and if we add those seven things to our faith, and bless your hearts, we'll have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, he's not saying you're going to earn heaven. There's a kingdom that's here and now. When Jesus came preaching, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's available. But that kingdom, you need to do some things to enjoy it. He doesn't make us enjoy it without us being intentional, without us putting forth some effort of humbling ourselves before him and serving him in a way that's pleasing in the sight of him, and loving one another and loving God. So as we think about the many ways that the scripture speaks about things that we should be doing, if we hide that word in our heart, it will help us against sinning against God. It'll help us. I think that's a worthy goal. I think it's something that would be good for all of us. I think it's something that would cause the light from this church to be shining even brighter. You know, I rejoice and I encourage the light from each one of us to be shining forth. I think Brother Kenneth touched on that. Let your light so shine. Okay? We need to be salt. All right? That's good. And we should. But we also, as a church,
As a church, we need to be joining together in our worship and joining together in our efforts so that as a church body, our light could be shining. You know, I don't know who said it, but it's a wonderful statement. It says, the light that shines the farthest. And usually they're talking about evangelism and reaching out to others. The light that shines the farthest is the light that shines the brightest at home. It shines the brightest at home. That's the one that shines the farthest. If we're treasuring up this word so that we would not sin against God, what a blessing that will be. Now, I mentioned briefly, got a couple more minutes here since we started late. I mentioned briefly about the Ten Commandments and how that if we just would observe the Ten Commandments, what a blessing that would be. And the fact, what I mentioned briefly was the fact that that's Old Testament. But it's still valid because Jesus gave validity to it in the New Testament. When there was a lawyer that came to Jesus on one occasion trying to trip him up in his words, trying to trick him. Said, what's the great commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You might say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What about the Ten Commandments? You didn't mention the Ten Commandments. Yes, I did. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That summarizes the first tablet of those two tablets that had the Ten Commandments. Our worship of God. The second tablet had six commandments on it, and it talks of, and Jesus summarized that by loving one another. If we're treating one another according to this word, we're expressing our love because we're doing the love of God one for another. So Jesus gave validity to the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. Paul would then say over in Romans 13 that when he mentioned a lot of the commandments. And he said, it's briefly comprehended in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he talks about how that love is the fulfilling of the law. So yes, it's still valid. Yes, we should still observe those principles because they were true from the beginning. They're true today. They always will be true. All right? So those obstacles are going to be there. One of the biggest obstacles is staying too busy. I got off track here when I was talking about how that we have to be intentional to carve out some time. And I'm not talking about 6 hours. I mean, you can read some scriptures in a short amount of time and carry something with you for your day. Think about it from time to time throughout your day and what a blessing it will be for you. Okay? So we have to be intentional about that. All right? But the Ten Commandments are just as valid today as they've ever been. We need to carve out some time because there's hindrances. There's hindrances. We've got this old flesh about us. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this old flesh hinders us. But if we call upon him, ask him for his help, he'll help us. Okay? The old devil's always out there trying to put stumbling blocks in our way, right? He's always on the job. Not too many good things I can say about the devil, but one thing I will say about him is that he's always on the job. He's always on the job. All right? One of the greatest lessons in all scripture that warns us about being too busy to serve God is that parable of the sower. When he gets down to the seed that fell among thorns, and he tells us what those thorns represented, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world crowd into our heart and choke out the effect of the word. So think about that for just a moment. If we're trying to get that word in there, but we're spending so much time with the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world that has taken up all our time, it chokes the word from getting in. So once again, the ball doesn't get over the rim. It bounces off, just like the seed that fell by the wayside, and the birds came along and snatched it away because it never had a chance to get in the heart. The same can happen with the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world. They choke out the effect of the word of God. And it keeps us from hiding that word in our hearts. Brethren, these things are important. I hope I've put a level of emphasis upon it this morning that would cause you to think about, to pause and think about. I hope these words sink down in your ears and find a lodging place in your heart. And I pray that it'll bring forth fruit in the days ahead. He's worthy of our praise. But if we're not intentional about doing this, it ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. May God help us to observe. May God help us to try our best to obey that little verse of scripture for his glory, and it'll result in blessings on your account. May God bless you, is our prayer.